Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Get Rich Slow Club podcast is a collaboration between Tash Etchman from Tash Invest and Anna Christina from Perla. The Get Rich Slow Club acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land we record on. From coast to coast, across land, waters, and communities, we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Any advice is general and does not consider your financial situation, needs, or objectives, so consider whether it's appropriate for you.
Welcome to the Get Rich Slow Club podcast,
where we take you from beginner to confident investor,
where we can teach you everything you need to know about investing.
So come get rich slow with us. This episode is one we get a lot of questions about. It's about HECS help debt. Should you pay it off early? Should you make extra repayments? What should you do with it? Well, we're going to dive deep into this. But before we do, we're going to talk about our money wins and losses.
But first, I had a thought the other day when I was trying to think of my money losses, and I don't really think of any of them as actual losses these days. They're either more learnings or challenges, or you suggested maybe calling them money feels. So thinking about changing it, either money wins and money learnings, money wins and money challenges, or money wins and money feels. Let us know which one you guys would prefer if you send us a message.
Ooh, yes.
What resonates more?
Yeah, because it is true, right? It's not a win or a loss. We often just like talk about how we feel about it. What are the challenges and so forth? So it would be good to rename it. Let us know. And I guess on that topic, Tash, what about you? What's your money thing for the week?
I like that. My money win was I really want to go on another holiday later in the year, like somewhere really beachy and warm and just sit and read for a week. And Luxury Escapes gift cards went on 10% off at Woolworths. So I bought a heap of those for 10% off. And then Amex had a cashback offer as well. So if you spend $500, you get $100 cash back. And if you use the Luxury Escapes app, you get $100 off. So I feel like that'll add up to quite a big money win.
Oh, all the hacks, using all the things to do the things. That's amazing. Mine's slightly like non-conventional, I guess, or not non-conventional. It's not like a typical thing of the week, but this happened a little while ago. I just haven't mentioned it on the show, but we bought a car. And I don't know if you remember, Tash, but like we have like a 20-year-old car that is like old and run down, and
it's
all the scratches on it are from me. Yeah, it's functional, right? And I'm happy with having an old car because I don't care. And a while ago, I saw on social media someone saying, like, don't take financial advice from someone who has a shitty car. And for me, someone posted this and I was like, really? Like,
no.
It comes down to values. Just because I have an old car doesn't mean that I don't have good money habits or that I have money in the bank, right? Like, again, it's about that millionaire neighbor that you don't know they're a millionaire because they don't play the part, right? Anyhow, long story short, we've been talking about getting a new car for a million years and our family were going to come and visit. Unfortunately, that didn't happen due to a health emergency. Nonetheless, we've been thinking about buying a 7-seater for ages because when people come over, we have kids, like we don't have room for everyone to fit in the car. And this was, we did all the research, went to go look for the car. It's like a year old. So it's quite new. It's new to us. It's very new because we want to hold on the car for like, you know, 7 plus 10 years, like a long-term investment, right? Provided nothing happens. And when we went to go pay, they were in shock when we said we didn't need a loan and that we were going to pay cash. Because this has been something we've been budgeting for ages. And then my partner and I kind of laughed at ourselves because here we are like in our flip-flops and, you know, we don't look the part, right? Mm-hmm. Like we rocked up with an old car. We're, you know, wearing like flip-flops and sweatpants. Like we do not look flashy and they were surprised. And it felt really good to feel as though people underestimate your financial capabilities based on judgments, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like you can't see true wealth.
Yeah, actually, true wealth is actually invisible. I think I read that quote once previously. Like, true wealth is invisible because you don't see it. When you see wealth, it's...
It is interesting when you're walking around and you do, like, make those judgments without meaning to, like, just assuming things. And then sometimes you're like, oh, wait, actually, I assumed that a little bit wrong. It's really interesting. Where did you buy it from? From someone secondhand or from the dealer?
From the dealer. We bought it from the dealer. We wanted to... There was a couple things. The different cars that we were looking at, we wanted to get it from a dealer because often they have warranties that are embedded in that you can't get through an individual person. And we just wanted to make sure it's safe because we have kids and all of that included.
Did you consider getting a loan at all?
No, I did not. I don't know. I just don't want to have any debt. I should have looked into it. I was actually like, I should have looked into like what their repayment plan was because I've always been kind of taught to buy my car outright. And I know that's not the case for everyone. Like some people are just not able to. This was something like we've been planning to buy this for years. We've been putting it off. And the only reason we pulled the plug at the moment was because we thought family was coming over. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Exciting. Yeah. I've heard of some people buying them under their business because then the interest on the loan is tax deductible. So that might be a good idea to get a loan. But yeah, some of the loans seem really high when I see them pop up with like 10 or even 15%. Like that's huge.
Yeah, we were talking about that as well because right now I'm employed, but I'm also a sole trader. Like I have both, but I don't have a company. And my partner was like, well, in the future, if you ever do that, maybe we should rebuy a car under the car company. So
right,
there's
the assets.
All those like little tax things that you learn along the way that you haven't considered previously might be really beneficial.
Yep. Always worth asking an accountant before buying anything big.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So let's jump into all things Hex Help debt. Because I don't have one, I went to school in Canada, so I'm less familiar with this whole topic. So how about, Tash, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. And for everyone else who knows or doesn't know, we can learn together. So first off, what is Hex Help debt?
Good question. HECS stands for the Higher Education Contribution Scheme and HELP stands for the Higher Education Loan Program. So in Australia, when you attend university or TAFE, you can get a HECS HELP loan to pay for your studies. You can only get these though if you are enrolled in something called a Commonwealth Supported Place or a CSP and you meet some conditions like being an Australian citizen or fitting under some other criteria. Unlike the US, we have to get student loans through private banks or institutions. In Australia, we are really lucky and we can get it through the government, which is awesome.
I literally just watched the other day, the last week, Tonight Show with John Oliver, and he does a deep dive into student debt in the US and how it's trying to be, you know, like they're trying to forgive it essentially. And that's a very interesting take for anyone who's interested in how debt or student debt is done in the US. It's mind blowing with how many hoops you have to jump through to try to pay it off. So I'm very excited that we have a slightly different system here.
Yeah, it's scary seeing how crippling that debt can be when people finish university, and especially medical students over there seem to have like $200,000 plus loans, which is just wild.
And because private companies are the ones who manage those loans, it also is almost near impossible to try to pay off the principal on your debt, which essentially means like the interest on it just keeps growing and growing. So now that I have an understanding of how it works in the US, how does it work here?
So it doesn't actually attract interest, but it's adjusted or indexed to inflation. So this means that it is based on the consumer price index or the CPI, which is something the ABS calculates every quarter and updates. You can check your current HELP debt balance by logging into the ATO and seeing, and you can also make early repayments as well, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So the main way to repay your HELP debt is by doing it through the tax system. So once you earn over $51,550 in the 23-24 tax year, you'll have to make compulsory repayments. This is automatically done for you through the ATO, so you don't have to worry about doing it yourself manually. Just to clarify, HECS HELP payments are only automated once you declare your debt on your tax withholding form, which is given to your employer when you start working for them. We had a listener reach out and share that their employer made a mistake and didn't enter the details from their tax withholding form correctly. This resulted in them having to set up a payment plan directly with the ATO. So while it should all be automated once you've ticked the box, it's a good idea to check your payslips to ensure your employer is taking out enough to cover your HECS and tax requirements. The ATO website has calculators to help with this, or just double check with your payroll team.
So it is indexed, right? And as you've talked about, that's kind of index and inflation is essentially almost the same thing. It's indexed to inflation. Can you talk a little bit about how it's indexed and why is it so important now for people to take notice of it?
Yeah. So previously, I think there was a bit of a myth going around that you didn't really have to pay interest on the loan and it was an interest-free loan or the cheapest loan that you'd ever get. But that's incorrect. It's just previously only been indexed to keep up with inflation and it still is. But if you look at the history of it, in 2016 and 2017, it was only indexed at 1.5%, which is tiny. Or 2021, it was only indexed at 0.6%. But last year in 2023, it jumped up to 7.1%, which is the highest it's been in so long. So I think it made everyone start noticing it. 7.1 is getting quite high, but it is only keeping up with inflation.
Yeah. So it.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Seems like a big jump because I think the year before that it was like 3.9. So that's essentially 10%. It's gone up in 2 years, right? Like, and if you are looking at your debt, it all of a sudden it seems like you have to pay more and more because of the way that it's indexed.
Yeah. But this year it's predicted to be closer to 4 to 5%, which is great. So I think that was just the one-off year. So it's not going to be 7% every single year going forward.
And surely people want to know, like, is it worth paying off or not? Because they do hear those things such as, it's the cheapest debt you'll ever get. We'll get into that shortly. But let's just talk a little bit about how can you pay them off? How can you pay off this debt?
Mm-hmm. So like I was saying, you make compulsory payments when you reach that income threshold. Like this changes every year. So make sure you check the ATO for up-to-date numbers. But currently it's just over $51,000. That's when the ATO will start taking money out on top of your tax from your weekly pay or monthly pay, whatever it is. So that's all automatically done for you, which is great. But you can also make voluntary repayments. So you can just do this through the ATO as well using BPAY. But this is in addition to those compulsory repayments where you decide you want to pay it off earlier.
I know that there's a common belief that it's good to pay off your debt every month or something of that sort. And my understanding, it's slightly different than if you were to pay a mortgage off your house where you're paying your mortgage, you're paying down the principal and the interest at the same time. Is that the case with this debt?
Yeah, it's a bit different. So indexation is only added once a year on June 1st every year. So a lot of people start talking about it and thinking about paying off extra in May. The government recommends that you pay it off a few business days early because it can take some time to get there. But yeah, if you can pretty much put it into your offset or into your savings account if you'd like, and then transfer it into your HEX debt in May, so it's there before the indexation if that's what you want to do. But the unfair bit is that our compulsory repayments are only added when we do our tax return from July onwards. So it feels a little bit unfair that they index it in June, but then our repayments for the whole year are only added onto it in July.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, that is a little bit different than other debts that people take on, which I can understand why that feels unfair.
Yeah, it just makes it a bit more confusing.
yeah, exactly. So let's talk about what everyone really wants to know. Why would you want to make voluntary repayments?
Good question. Using last year's numbers, 7.1% was really high and was higher than most mortgages and savings accounts. So paying it off was a guaranteed way of getting a 7.1% return on your money. Other reasons that people might want to pay it off is because you want to increase your borrowing power to buy a house. So because you are making those compulsory repayments, your available income is lower while you're paying off your HECS debt. And with house prices so high at the moment and interest rates so high, by paying off your HECS debt, you're pretty much freeing up that income and therefore increasing your borrowing capacity, which is great. If you want to be debt-free, you can pay it off too. And if you don't really have anywhere else to put that money, so if you don't have a home loan, you don't have a personal loan, you've got heaps of savings sitting around and you just want to do something with your money, maybe it's a good idea to pay it off.
Okay, so that makes sense why someone would want to pay it off. Why would someone maybe not want to pay off this debt?
It's one of the only debts you don't have to pay off until you reach a certain income threshold. And you can't get your repayments back if something goes wrong. So the great thing with this is if for some reason, if you lose your job or you get sick or you can't work, those repayments stop. And as long as you're under that threshold, those repayments don't have to be made. You've not got debt collectors knocking at your door.
If you're in that situation, does it actually pause your loan or is it just that you don't have to pay it at that time?
No, I'm pretty sure it doesn't pause your indexation. It keeps going, but you don't have to pay it. So unlike things like your mortgage and your bills, where unfortunately they don't go away if you get sick, you can keep paying off those, but then you don't have to repay your HECS. So I think one of the dangers is if you pay off your HECS debt, that money isn't really available to you at all again, which can be a bit scary. But for example, if you pay off your mortgage or you need to sell some shares, you can do that to get money out, but you can't get money out of your HECS debt again.
Yeah, so it's really important to have an emergency fund because it's not as though you can access that money again once you paid it off in the way that you potentially can remortgage your house loan if you need to. That's what you're saying, right?
I think HECS should be like the last priority on your list. Like if you've got other goals, do those first because you have the freedom and flexibility to sell those shares or use that. And also the fact that it does pause, or well, you don't need to make those repayments if something happens. And that's great as well, because that doesn't happen with any other debts. Some other reasons you might not pay it off is because you have high interest debts, such as credit cards or personal loans. So you should probably pay those off first. The indexation changes every year. So make sure to check that and just compare between them. So even with the 7.1% HECS indexation, a lot of credit cards are 20% and personal loans are 15%. So in those situations, it's still better to pay those off first.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess that's one of the reasons why people say it's the best loan you can get, because it has been historically quite low. And to your point, you know, credit cards and personal debt is usually way higher than what a HECS help debt has been.
I think the 7.1% scared a lot of people. But when we're thinking about the long-term investment returns of shares, we're looking at 10 years, for example. So if you average out the HECS indexation rates over 10 years, it's actually quite low. So even though you might have high indexation on 1 year, it doesn't mean it's going to continue for the next years.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a HECS debt?
Yes, I have about $18,000 left on my HECS debt, and I don't pay it off, and I don't think I want to pay it off early. I did think about it last year, but for all the reasons we just mentioned, I've got better things to do with my money at the moment. I prefer to invest it. I prefer to have the safety and flexibility of being able to take it out. And with my income, so when I was earning $100,000, I had to pay off $8,000 back of my help HECS debt. So I think it's going to be paid off in the next 2 to 3 years anyway, just through compulsory repayments. If I had a really big debt, like $70,000 or $80,000, maybe I'd think about paying it off, but I think it's just going to sort itself out anyway. The only thing that would make me pay it off early is if I went to buy another property and I didn't quite have the borrowing capacity for it, then I would pay it off. But it's not looking like I will have to do that.
Yeah, I've been talking to a friend actually about their debt and whether they want to pay it off or not. And I think they're of the similar mindset where it's like, well, it's just not worth it. It's paying itself. 7%, yes, it's historically high at the moment, but it hasn't been up until now. And because it's a small debt, it doesn't really impact things. Whereas I think to your point, if your debt is really big, like if you have a large amount of debt, it can be debilitating. 7% does seem like a lot if your debt is $90,000 or, you know, a larger sum, $100,000. I don't know, you know, like, I don't know how much this debt goes for, but as opposed to $10,000. So it's just, I think really it comes down to personal preference in the same way that some people really want to pay down their house. And other people are totally fine with that debt and in fact are okay with accruing more debt in purchasing a second property or doing something of that sort. So it is an interesting kind of thing because it comes down to your risk tolerance, what makes you feel comfortable and what helps you sleep at night.
Yes. And I think if you are wanting to pay it off, which is completely fine as well, just make sure you've got that emergency fund and you've met your other goals first before paying it off. Because like we said, you can't get it back.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's all for this week. Everything on HECS help debt. If you haven't heard yet, we have a book that has come out. It's called How to Not Work Forever. And you can also get it on Amazon, Booktopia, wherever you grab your book. So definitely get a hold of that. And don't forget to join our Facebook group.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you found this episode helpful, please rate us 5 stars, write a review, or share with a friend. If you're new to investing, make sure to listen to our first 10 episodes. Follow us at Get Rich Slow Club or Tash at Tash Invest or me at Anna Christina.
This show was brought to you by Natasha Etchman, who is an authorized representative, 1299881 of Guideway Financial Services, AFSL 420367. And Perla, who is an authorized representative, 128.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers.
If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
1540 of Sanlam Private Wealth, AFSL 337927. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to investing. So make sure you check out our financial services guides and read the product disclosure statement and target market determination for any investments you're considering. See our show notes for more info.